Hello, everybody. This is your host, Patrick Sullivan, on another episode of Archer Gray's PLM Quick 30. Thanks for joining us today. The topic for today's discussion is data migration. And I'm lucky enough to have one of the greatest people, in my opinion, to be involved to share his knowledge. He's one of the most successful people associated to data migrations and many other initiatives related to PLM. And all aside from that, he's a beautiful person with an extreme amount of loyalty and grit and grace. And so I've spoken enough about him because I'm excited for you guys to be introduced to him so he can give you a little bit about his background. And although we could talk about many other topics, again, the topic of discussion today is specifically around data migrations. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Patrick, for having me here. It's a great opportunity to sit here with you and have a conversation on your podcast. I love hearing what you have done so far. It's good to be here.
Yeah, I appreciate it. So I gave everybody just a quick introduction here. Would you mind taking a few minutes to kind of share your background of kind of who you are, your expertise in this field, and then we'll dive into the discussion?
Sure. Thanks, Patrick. Hello, everyone. I'm Aditya Mahapatra. By my education, I'm a mechanical engineer, and I started with working in a manufacturing assembly line. Then I switched to PLM and have been working with Windchill products since its version 6.2.6. It's been about 18 years now. And during this 18 years, I have worked on several projects doing implementations, customizations, integrations, and of course, migrations. And I had my fair share of migrations done till now.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks for the quick intro. And so let's dive right into it, because I assume people listening to this are going to be the full range of spectrum around data migration. Some who are very familiar with it and are considered experts in the field because they do it day in and day out and they know the complexities around it. But then we're also going to have folks that are new to it and trying to learn about it so they can be educated as they dive into it. And then it's likely that we're going to have some executives that are in the space that aren't going to be necessarily directly involved with the data migration, but they are trying to get educated on expectations and kind of challenges that they should expect to make decisions on as it kind of bubbles up into their purview. So when I say the words data migration to you, what comes to mind? And, you know, maybe a follow-on question is, how do you feel about data migrations and their place in this world of PLM?
When I hear data migration, if I would describe in one word that comes to my mind is opportunity. Opportunity to make your data more relevant by bringing it into your new age system or whatever system you want to run it with now. So that's the shortest way I could say what I hear about when I hear the word data migration.
I can tell you that I rarely hear the word opportunity. I hear a lot of groans associated to data migration for folks that have kind of gone through it from a painful standpoint. So can you share why? I mean, you touched on it, but why do you view, are you just an optimistic person and you don't use negative terms, or why opportunity?
Because over here, we're calling about data migration, right? So over here, the subject is data, not migration. So, and data is an asset. And in the world of PLM, where we manage the product data and product information, this data is the essential part of it. And PLM's sole objective is to manage such data. And I say opportunity because in your product lifecycle management, your product evolves with time, with revisions, with changes, and it leaves a trail of history behind. Now that history, that traceability is something really important from an engineering standpoint. And if we kind of embody that aspect of data and think it how important that is, and approach to migration, keeping in mind data is what we need to preserve, not only preserve, also to be able to extend and use it down the line. With that mindset, if you approach migration, it's just not ETL or extract, transform, or load. It's not lift and shift. So over here, what I'm suggesting here is a shift in how you philosophically look at data migration and how you perceive towards data migration. But at the same time, I would not deny the challenges associated with data migration, but with the right approach, the challenges can be handled appropriately to move the data or give the data the meaning what it needs to be.
I mean, that's a pretty elegant explanation. And one of the things that stuck out in my mind as you were talking was breaking it down from a grammatical perspective of data is the subject and data is the asset. And if you're looking to migrate the data, your goal should be to preserve with the intent to use it down the line, not just to preserve. And so that paradigm shift is really a, I would say, a fresh perspective and a valuable one. So, you know, because what I typically run into is anybody who has experience with data migrations, and we're talking about it with clients or exploring a new opportunity to work with a client related to data migration. I mean, I joked about it earlier before you answered that question and expanded on opportunity, but the typical reaction I get is the anticipation of the amount of effort to do the data migration. And I would say there's anxiety around it. And I have two questions again for you. So why the anxiety? I think you kind of touched on why you don't have the anxiety because you view it as an opportunity, but I'm interested, why do you feel others have this feeling of anxiety related to data migration?
In my opinion, to answer that why, it boils down to the unknown aspects of data, because you don't look at every record of data that you're migrating when you're migrating millions of records and terabytes of data across. So you will have unknown. And that aspect, the unknown aspect of the data, can be overwhelming because what you do not know, you do not know. And that's something you're going to stumble upon during your rehearsals, and you have to start over again and go repeatedly again and again. And that extends the timeline, and that says it's a never-ending process. I think that's your why. And even though I said why, I don't feel that way, because my perspective is analyze the data up front, uncover those unknowns even before you get on to rehearsal. And I know that's where you're going to spend most of your time initially, but this is where you get yourself familiar with what's out there. Get the business made aware what and how the data is. People may be surprised. You'll come to know that even they did not know that they had such kind of data. And once you go through that kind of iterative process of analyzing and reviewing data, by the time you're done with that exercise, you would have a detailed, thorough mapping with all kind of rules for transformations, which makes you comfortable to account for all data. Now, over here, accountability and data migration is something I feel it's very important. Because as I said, you cannot go record by record. So if you cannot verify 100%, what's your confidence level with your data migration? So this thorough process of analyzing and reviewing will build in that confidence that you have addressed all aspects of it. Now, if you got your process right, your analysis right, and your review right, your migration would not require 100% verification. and whatever you verify in each use cases you uncovered, that should be sufficient enough to give you the confidence in the migration. Now, in this approach, you might ask me, what you talk here sounds like a lot of work. Yes, I never denied there is work involved, but this work happens upfront, even before you enter your rehearsals, because once you start getting into the rehearsals more, it's like you keep on repeating the same thing. You are taking a lot of business time and doing the same thing again and again, which kind of goes spirally out of control and feels like it's a never-ending process. Taking it upfront, the analogy I'll draw is, I always tell that to myself, is more you sweat is less you bleed in war. So more I analyze the data over here, I will run into less errors and failures in my rehearsal. And this mantra of mine has made me successful, at least in providing quality migration in less number of rehearsals.
So I'm sure this is one of those areas where people with experience are like, oh yeah, he's definitely speaking the truth. And for those people that are looking to get into it and understand what they need to do, like when I hear you say analyze data and I think about naming conventions, conflicts related to how the mapping is going to take place, other conflicts in the data, how do you know that you've analyzed the data sufficiently and with a diverse amount of data to have a degree of confidence when you're walking in with no benchmark?
My approach on this always has been, you start with what you know. Make that as your base template and try to find the data that fits to those criteria, whether those are requirements or criteria coming from the business or something that you understand or is given or something that is implicit about it. Take those and find what the data is. But again, data can be 100% be counted for. So then get to the next stage, which is saying, okay, how much of the data, what percentage of data fits in the predefined criteria? It could be 70%, it could be 80%, it could be only 40%. So whatever is not fitting well enough to those criteria, that becomes your subset for analysis. You want to see where it strayed away, what aspect of the data did not meet the criteria. Take those and then start grouping them and analyzing them chunk after chunk, aspect by aspect, field by field. And that way you're going to uncover more and more use cases. And again, keep in mind, the data we are speaking about is something in a system that might have been used for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. You do not know the longevity of the system since when the data has been used. And the process change, with process change comes in modifications to the data in the due course of time. So all those things need to be accounted for and put in perspective. And that's how, as and when you go through this exercise, your base definition of your criteria, your rules, they will evolve. It's no different than how your product evolves, but it's not a trial and error method. It is it's more of a step-by-step tactical approach that you take to sorting this one out.
So I like what you said about starting with, you establish your benchmark by some type of business requirement or criteria, and then your analysis of digging in is that subset that doesn't fit that criteria for whatever rhyme or reason. And from there, it's a little bit easier to consume what information you need to address and how you can prioritize those based on, you know, the impact to the business. At what point do you say, okay, that's enough analysis, we're ready to go into, you know, the rehearsal phase of doing the data migration? Because, you know, one of the things that I liked what you said was, once you do your analysis, you can better set the expectations of the business of, hey, what state is the data in today? And here's where we can, in an automated way, help fix or resolve some of these issues. But here are some categories where you guys have to take ownership to fix and resolve these data issues, whether it's actually going into the files and fixing them, or being able to point them out and grouping them in a better way because they're more familiar with the data. At what point have you done enough analysis?
So to your point, you're right. You don't want to make it as a science project, which is never ending. In that case, you're not elevating from the pain of migration. So you want to take this till you cover at least, or you're able to account for your data. If there is a section of data that you're unaccounted for, as long as you say, okay, this 20% doesn't fit and you know why it doesn't fit, as long as that review is done, you're not trying to try to make those 20% fit. It's still fine, as long as you covered the entire ground. So I won't say you are at 95%, it's good enough. I would say you would try for 100%, but I understand at times you get to the point of diminishing returns where the time you're going to spend on next 10,000 records is going to be exorbitant amount of time, and it's not worthwhile given the bigger scope of picture. So over here, I don't have a firm answer for you, but I have what you call it as relatively based on what data it is, what's business expectation out of it. And if business thinks this is critical and that is very important to them, then you might want to get to 100%. But business thinks these are too old, they do not have what you call most potential at that point of time, those things you can step aside and proceed towards your first rehearsal. Because analysis is one aspect of it. You also want to get to rehearsals sooner, because whatever you are trying to put down in theory, map it through, you want to showcase how that data fits into your new system. And when it fits into new system, it's just not getting the data in there. Can that data is searchable? Is the data usable in the new processes running the new system? And can those data be used in your new product design and development? So from those aspects, you need validations, and that you can do only after doing a rehearsal of migrating that data into the system.
Yeah, I like that answer. It's very thoughtful, you know, and in the realm of being conscious of diminishing returns. I've been on projects before where one of the requirements of the business was that 100% of the data get migrated, and there was no discussion of whether or not the data was relevant. They just, is it impolite to say pack rats? You know, they couldn't let go of the data because they already had it. It was already there, regardless if it was accessed in the last 5 years or not. And they were in a non-regulated environment. So, you know, you didn't have those type of stipulations where, you know, as long as that asset is out in the field, you have to have a record of it. That was not this case, which is why I kind of bring that comment up.
No, you're right on that. And at times, whenever you ask a requirement, what needs to be migrated and what can be left out, the answer you will get is we want it all. We don't want to leave anything behind. And if you take a deeper look, why is that statement? One is you do not know what you're leaving behind. Is it important or not? Because that's why they say we want everything. But during this analysis and review process, you will be addressing that concern. Hey, this is the data from XYZ timeframe on XYZ products. Is that still relevant? Now, when you put context to that data, which time, which product, and stuff like that, then the definition of saying, okay, it's relevant. Now the relevancy comes into context saying, okay, is it really important, or is it, okay, something that product is long decommissioned, we don't need it, and it's beyond our record retention period. So yes, it can be out. But without giving those time and product context, it would be hard for anyone to say whether to leave it or it's important or not important to them. So that's why this exercise that you do upfront is for the very reason that you want to bring the business, make business aware. As much as you are making yourself aware what the data is, you are making business aware what they have out there. And more informed they get along the way, they could make better calls and make better decisions on that data.
Yeah, that's. I'm glad we kind of started talking about this, because it's another scenario where, oh, we just want the data migrated and we don't want to affect the business because they have a lot of things going on. But you bring up a really good point. And we talk about this whenever we're exploring doing implementations and talking about, you know, OCM, organizational change management, or user adoption, however you want to, you know, define bringing people on board to what you're looking to accomplish. And if you're looking for high quality results, ultimately people need to be educated about what they have, where they're going, and be involved in the decisions of getting there. And as long as you're involving folks along the way in those decisions, they feel like they've got ownership of it. And I talk with, you know, not to change the topic on OCM, but it's very relevant to migrations as well. And I didn't think about it until you were bringing it up. It's, you know, there's an educational period where the organization inherently is better for it because there's more ownership related to the data. And ultimately, the three categories that you said is, you know, is the data searchable, usable, and more importantly, can you use it in new products moving forward? And if all of the people that consume that data or create that data are involved in the process of deciding what is what, you're going to have a much cleaner system and the usability of things that you have versus wasting money on trying to recreate it. You know, that's another invaluable aspect of doing it right.
Exactly. And one thing to keep in mind is when people say it's legacy system, legacy data, I mean, very rarely you will run into scenarios or situations where you will find those subject matter experts who were there from the dawn of the system. Most of the time you'll find people have inherited as they grow up the chain and the system has been there, and now they are the sole custodian of the system. So now, given that they have inherited and not knowing what else could have been there in that before, it would be very hard for them to say, okay, we're okay to leave something behind, because they do not know what they do not know. And that's where this level of introspection on the data helps kind of clear that cloud from that data and make it more visible so people can make right decisions about it. Because keep in mind, we are talking, everyone now speaks about, when you speak PLM, people says digital transformation, people speak about digital assets. I mean, the molecules or atoms behind this, I would say, is the data that make it happen. So you want to get all the data right in place and to be able to use it as if the data was created in that new system, even after migration, would be the focus, or should be the focus in migrating data. And that's how I look at it in every migration. I mean, challenges will be there, a lot of sleepless nights for sure. It's no different than any other migration efforts, but just the focus is shifting, like more you sweat, less you bleed. And like you touched about another point, the resources constraint, the subject matter experts, the business, there are new products that they want to launch. They don't have time to validate, keep on looking at this data again and again through each rehearsals. So one favor we can do them is give them more quality of data in each rehearsal, and less number of rehearsals, the better for them, because less number of times they need to validate the same data again and again. So instead of that time, I would ask their time upfront for reviewing the data based on the analysis we're performing and define a better mapping and transformation rules and data migration criteria.
Yeah, that's valuable input that, one, I think you can get buy-in. People would much rather especially the subject matter experts, spend time telling you the criteria of what they want versus fixing problems of what already exists and just waiting for them to get it done on top of their job. Yeah, thanks for sharing that. Okay, so let's change the same topic, change the direction a little bit and bring it a little closer to home. So we've had multiple opportunities where clients have asked us to take on data migrations that had failed in previous attempts with other folks, whether it's been internal or other companies trying to get the migration completed for them. So we've taken on those challenging data migrations, and you've been able to migrate successfully where others were not successful. So from your standpoint, what are the differentiating factors? Was it everything you spoke to, or were there some other things that we haven't discussed?
I mean, I've touched some of this. I mean, it's nothing wrong or negligent. It's just the approach and focus. I mean, I'm not saying you have a shortcut to migrate well, or there's a secret sauce to your migration, data migration recipe. I mean, the data is your secret sauce in this. And if the focus is put on the data up front, and to be able to quantify it all the way, that brings in the confidence. That's what we talked about. And if we focus our effort and energy over there instead of on the rehearsals is just kind of making sure what you have done pans out as you expected it. But that's where not your doing should happen. It should have been done before. That's the only thing I would suggest. Shift the effort as a precursor to rehearsals. That's the only thing where I would recommend any change. It's not doing anything extra. It's just doing what and when is more that's important.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of big paradigm shifts here that you've shared with us that I think are valuable. One, I'm just going to say, said simply, doing what work and when. And then earlier in the conversation, when we were talking about opportunity and how you just look at data migration in general as, you know, data is the subject and is the asset. So treat it with care and put the work up front. I mean, they're kind of combined, but certainly said differently to, I think, help people shift their mindset, because it's important and it's valuable, and it ends up saving all of the subject matter experts time and energy and putting a positive focus in the areas that can help improve how the rehearsals go downstream. So thanks for sharing that. I've got a challenge for you. I'm going to throw a scenario at you.
Okay.
Are you up for it?
I thought you were going to throw some data on me, but yes, go ahead.
Okay. So let's pretend we are walking into an ugly migration project. It's failed in previous attempts. It's the same question that I mentioned before, but now I'm going to put you in front of the CEO. Okay. He's sitting across from you, or she is sitting across from you, waiting to hear if you are going to be able to get this done, because he's tried it multiple times before. They failed. This is his last attempt. And his job's on the line. And he just finished saying he'll do anything you need from him to put it in place. But you've got, I don't know, 1 to 2 minutes to set his expectations, provide key milestones and demands of the client that you need in order for it to be successful. What would you say?
Well, that's a lot for 2 minutes.
you need less time?
No, I think that there's too much to talk about and time is 2 minutes, but I'll try my best. Well, let's see. I'll try to simplify this because I don't want to waste CEO's time, right? Well, I'll first say thanks for making me aware of your situation, and I can totally understand. Now, in order to get this right, the milestones I will set is to do data analysis and review quantitatively and qualitatively both. And I need his subject matter experts to be available to review any kind of data samples I bring across to them and provide directions around it. And so once we go through that exercise, I'll be pretty sure to tell them the timeline from there onwards to their go live. And I'll tell them precisely what will be coming over, what will be left behind, and why it is okay to leave them behind. I'll be able to give that numbers and report upfront. I mean, setting what expectations, I can tell them exactly what's going to be left behind and what's going to fail upfront. Because in my migration experiences, whatever I stage to load has always been 100% successful because I weed out all these things, anomalies upfront, because I know what the target system is expecting for me to give it to it. And I know what business needs about the data. So as long as he can commit me resources, his subject matter experts to review data, I got it all covered for him.
Is that it?
Yeah. Did I do under 2 minutes?
That was under 2 minutes and very sequential order without pause. So here's what I have. Step one, data analysis and review. Two, give me subject matter experts to establish the requirements. And from that analysis that you end up coming up with, comparing the data to the requirements, you'll be able to tell the set expectations with the CEO and the business of what's going to be migrated successfully, what's going to have to be left behind for whatever reasons, and your categorization of what's going to fail and what they can work on to help resolve. I heard 3 steps.
Yes.
Did I catch it?
You got it right. And during these steps, if you have looked into it, we're trying to handle all the failures up front. So you won't be in a situation where you are a year deep into migration and then realize, oh, we didn't expect this data. Unknowns are your biggest enemy in data migration. So taming them up front will get you done migration a lot sooner, a lot quicker, and better quality. And I always say, I use the word quantitatively and qualitatively. I can account for every record in the system, whether it's migrated or not, from the source system. That gives the confidence, which you cannot achieve by any number of validations that you run through in your UATs or rehearsal validations with so many people on the system. It's hard to get that kind of quantitatively done. And you're qualitatively, you'll be spot on because you have been made aware of what your data looks like and how, to what degree they vary from your understanding and what measures we can put to get them in to your new system. So those things are all known to you upfront. I know the data upfront. So the room or scope for unknown get kind of reduced significantly during your rehearsals and go live.
I can tell you, Aditya, that over this pandemic period, I cleaned out my garage and I didn't know what I was going into until I actually pulled it out of the garage and put it onto my driveway to assess whether or not to assess what I was going to do with it. I wish we lived closer together so you could have helped me uncover the unknowns, because I probably would have done it differently.
Well, these are general philosophical approaches. I think you are able to expand on it and use it in a day-to-day life. Makes me happy.
Yeah, you know what I did instead? I went out and bought a tarp so I could cover up all my stuff while I decided what to do with it. And the tarp was an unanticipated purchase.
I mean, I understand ignorance is bliss, but not in this case.
Yeah. Thank you so much for taking the time and sharing your experiences and knowledge with us on this. I mean, this is such a huge thing for every organization. And you're right, data is their IP. It is an asset, and it's what keeps their organization in business and thriving. And the fact that you prioritize it and take it into a personal account is just, in my opinion, an extension of your character. So anybody listening to this has heard one of the masters in the industry. I hope you got a lot of valuable things from it. Before we leave, everybody, do you have any parting words for our audience?
I would say just love data and you'll get there no matter what you do, migration or integration. Just treat data with love and care. You will achieve what you want. You basically untap and release the full potential of the data. That's what we are all looking in this world of digital age. Data is the new currency.
Wow. I think we're going to start selling some t-shirts.
All right.
We're going to have love data, and then it's going to have your signature at the bottom. So if anybody wants that t-shirt, please feel free to email us. Go to our website, info@archergray.com. Say, hey, I want that t-shirt, and we will make sure you get one. So thanks again, and I appreciate you again taking the time and sharing the knowledge with not only me, I took a lot away from it, but our audience as well.
Thank you, Patrick, for the opportunity here, and thanks to all the listeners. Appreciate your time. Thank you.
Excellent. We will see you in the next episode of the PLM Quick 30. Thanks for joining us today.